One of my all-time favorite scenes is from the movie Joe versus the Volcano. Joe is a young man played by Tom Hanks who is disillusioned with his boring, meaningless life, and then things go from bad to worse when he learns that he's got a rare brain disease and only 6 months to live. An eccentric billionaire who wants to acquire mineral rights to a remote South Pacific island offers Joe the opportunity to have all the money he can spend for the rest of his life if he will agree, before he dies, to travel to this South Pacific island and to throw himself into an active volcano as a sacrifice of appeasement to the gods and people of this island. With only 6 months to live, Joe figures, what do I got to lose? And so he agrees. On his way to that South Pacific island, though, the boat that he's on sinks. And he and his good friend Patricia find themselves floating on debris in the middle of the South Pacific. Before long, they're hungry, thirsty, dehydrated, disoriented. And Joe drifts off to sleep in the darkness, not sure if he'll ever awaken. And then something incredible happens. Watch this.
This day I do not know. Thank you for my life. I forgot how big
catch the words of Joe's prayer as he witnesses the amazing rising of the moon over the South Pacific. He prays, "Dear God, whose name I do not know, thank you for my life. I forgot how big. Thank you. Thank you for my life." So that suddenly someone who was in utter despair is transformed when he comes face to face with the awesome greatness of God. I find that fascinating. Psychologically, I find it fascinating how in that moment, in the presence of awe, the presence of this wow, Joe is lifted from this place of deepest despair and his perspective is reset. All of which causes me to wonder, how can we harness that power, the power of wow, the power of awe in our lives so that we're not just barely keeping our head above water, but we are actually thriving and loving life even when times are at their toughest. So that's what we're going to talk about today as we launch into a new sermon series called Wow, Woe, Want, Wait, Four Essential Elements of Prayer. Each week for the next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at a different, powerful, practical way to encounter God, starting today with the power of prayers of wow. Let's ask God to guide us. God, so often in life we feel overwhelmed and defeated. Awaken us today to a secret power that you've given us that can lift us from the deepest, darkest pit. Give us something powerfully practical today that we can practice in our lives this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jessica, a stay-at-home mom, was having a terrible, horrible, very bad day. Then the phone rang, and without even looking at the caller ID, she picked it up and was grateful to hear a kind voice at the other end of the line. "Good morning, darling. It's Mom. How's your day going?" "Oh, Mom, it's the worst day ever. The baby won't eat. The wash machine broke. The house is a mess. I sprained my ankle and can barely walk. I haven't even had a chance to get to the grocery store yet, and we've got guests coming for dinner tonight." "Darling, darling, calm down. I'll tell you what. Within 30 minutes, I'll be there. Sit down. In 30 minutes, I'll be there. I'll take care of everything. And on my way over there, I'm going to call that George and tell him he ought to get home and help for a change." "George," Jessica says. "Who's George?" "Well, darling, George is your husband." "No, George is not my husband." "Oh, is this 284-1363? "No, it's 284-1366. "Oh, darling, I'm so sorry, but I must have dialed wrong." After a long pause, Jessica says, "Does this mean you're not coming over?" You know the feeling, right? When you're having one of those days, or one of those months, or one of those seasons in life that feels so overwhelming, one thing after another, to the point that you just want to throw your hands up and say, "What's the use? I give up." That is exactly where Job found himself in today's Bible story. The story of Job in the Bible chronologically is one of the oldest in the Bible. It takes us back beyond the time of Moses, as best we can tell, even beyond the time of Abraham and Sarah. It tells us about the life of this man, Job. He was living what we would call the good life, but then he encountered an unrelenting series of catastrophes. One catastrophe after another. Foreigners invaded, slaughtered, massacred all of his servants, and carried off his livestock. Then there came a windstorm and collapsed a house on all of his adult children who had gathered there for a meal, killing them instantly. In the aftermath of that, Job contracted a deadly disease that covered his body from head to toe with painful boils. It got so bad, his wife finally suggested that Job curse God and die. All of his friends gathered around him and essentially told Job that the reason he was experiencing all this catastrophe in his life was probably because he had some unconfessed secret sin for his part. All Job could think about is why. "Why, God, I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand why you're letting this happen. I need some answers here, God, or I'm going to lose my faith." And for the next 30 plus chapters, chapter after chapter after, Job in dialogue with his friends tries to make sense of that which is senseless. And as we read this chapter after chapter after chapter, we begin to realize that Job is stuck in an obsessive negative feedback loop, so overwhelmed, so preoccupied with the tragedies of life. And that resonates with us because We've all been there. You know what it feels like when one thing after another piles itself on top of you. You know what it feels like when your soul is depleted, when your body is tired, when your work is making you nuts, when you stand and watch as your parents' lives are crumbling, when a child, one of your children, is experiencing some major problem, when you can't keep up with the upkeep of your house, when your health care bills and health insurance are astronomical and one health problem after another seems to mount up, and you get to that place where you just want to throw up your hands and say, what's the use? I give up. That's where Job found himself in today's story. So what happens next? How did he snap out of it? Did he snap out of it? After 30 plus chapters of grieving his loss, churning in his pain, and questioning God, Job, at the end of his book, finally falls silent long enough for God to get a word in edgewise. Job 38, verse 31. You heard it read a bit ago. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Notice it's out of the whirlwind. Remember, it was a wind storm that killed his children. And so now he's experiencing another windstorm, flashbacks. And somehow in the windstorm, he senses the voice of God saying to him, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins, Job. I will question you now, and you will declare to me. And then God proceeds to call to Job's mind in serial fashion one great wonder of creation after another great wonder of creation after another great wonder of creation, one after another. As you read the next three chapters, God speaks to Job about the wonders of the ocean, the big blue beautiful ocean, and the cycles of light and darkness, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. God reminds Job of the miracle of snow, the wonder of rain, thunder and lightning, and then all the exotic animals. The chapters that follow mention lions and mountain goats, donkeys, oxen, majestic horses, the crocodile, the hippopotamus, ostriches, hawks. Just picture a hawk soaring high on the winds. Unfathomable beauty, grandeur, splendor, awe. God says to Job in chapter 39, verse 26, is it by your wisdom that the hawk soars and spreads its wings? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes its nest on high? Think about the hawk and the eagle, Job. Or think about the stars in the sky. Job 38, 31, God says to Job, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? And one after one, God keeps bringing before Job the wonders of creation that surround us, the beauty of a flower that is blossoming, of clouds against a blue sky, the magnificence of a baby's laughter, the miracle of birth, the miracle of death, one thing after another. And as Job mindfully ponders all of this, something tips inside of him. Job 42:1. Finally, Job answers the Lord and says, I know that you can do all things and that no purposes of yours can be thwarted. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know, cannot know, will never know. I had heard of you, God, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And there you have it again. The exact same phenomenon. When we come face to face with the awesome grandeur of God, it is transformative. When Job came face to face with the awesome grandeur of God, it jolted him out of his funk and tipped him from negativity into a place of openness that began an upswing in his life that led to a great season of renewal, so that he ends up at a better place in life than before the series of tragedies even began. And it seems to me there's a really important lesson that we're meant to draw from that. As long as Job was churning in negativity, he was hopelessly stuck. But as soon as Job allowed himself to open himself up mindfully to the grandeur of God all around him, something fundamental shifted from angst to awe, from doubt to trust, from despair to hope, from carping to worship. And as his heart fills with thanksgiving and praise, that marks the beginning of a season of renewal in Job's life. That is why it is so important that we ensure that prayers of wow are a regular part of our daily spiritual rhythm, because we have access to that same transformational power when we deliberately, intentionally open ourselves up to the wow, the awe of God that is all around us, the God in whom we live and move and have our being. When we open ourselves up to that, something fundamental shifts inside us in mystical ways that is powerfully positive. In one of her books, Anne Lamott devotes a whole chapter to talking about the power of prayers of wow. In fact, it's that chapter in her book that inspired this sermon today. Here's how she puts it. When we are stunned to the place beyond words, then we're finally starting to get somewhere. The power of awe to shake us out of our coma, our sleepwalking, and awaken to the splendor, the miracle of life, and the greatness of God all around us. She continues by saying, when all we can say in response to something amazing that we see or experience is wow, that's a prayer. Anne says, when Sam was six or so, he explained to me why we call God God. He said it's because when you see something so great, you just go, God. By that standard, some of you have been praying more prayers of wow than you probably realized. She goes on to say, I said God over and over when I went to New York for the first time. And when I saw a bay in Mexico carpeted with dolphins. When we say God like that, it's not a curse. It's a prayer of wow. And goes on to say, wow has a reverberation to it. Wow, 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 wow. And this pulse, the pulse of wow, can soften us. Like the electrical massage an acupuncturist directs at your spine or a cramped muscle, which feels like a staple gun, but good. The movement of grace from hard to soft, distracted to awake, mean to gentle again, is mysterious but essential. You see what she's saying here? She's saying the same thing we've been talking about, that when we intentionally, deliberately, mindfully open ourselves to the wow of the miracle of life in God that is all around us, it changes us in powerful and miraculous ways. And by the way, science confirms this transformational power of wow. Dr. Robert Leahy puts it this way: awe is the opposite of rumination. Rumination is what Job was doing for 30 plus chapters. Awe is the opposite of rumination. It clears away inner turmoil with a wave of outer immensity. Two scientists have done, Dr. Robert Emmons and Dr. Michael McCullough have done a great deal of research trying to document the impact on our minds and our bodies from praise, thanks, gratitude, that feeling of wow when we open ourselves to it. In one of their studies, they divided their participants into three different groups. Group one was asked to, at the end of each week, to sit down and just write a few brief sentences about something they were grateful for that had happened that week. Group two was asked to sit down at the end of the week and write just a few sentences about something that had aggravated them during the course of the week. And group three was asked to sit down and write a few sentences about something neutral that happened to them. After 10 weeks' time, these two researchers reported that those who were in group one had seen a substantial increase in their sense of optimism and their positive feeling about life, towering above those who were in the two control groups. Another person who's done significant research in the area, Dr. Martin Seligman, has tested the impact of all kinds of different activities on our moods, looking for what are the things that we can do in life that are most beneficial to our mood. In one of his studies, he had participants sit down and write a letter of gratitude to someone who had done something wonderful for them in their lives that they'd never yet properly thanked. When participants did this, their happiness scores went through the roof. And to Seligman's surprise, when those same people were retested 30 days later, they still had significantly elevated levels of happiness just from that one exercise in gratitude. The Wall Street Journal, November 2010, did a story where they surveyed the literature about the impact of gratitude, praise, awe on not just our psyche, but also on our physiology. What they reported as they surveyed all the literature is that when we are intentionally thankful, grateful, praiseful in our lives, that we routinely experience more optimism, more social connections, more happiness, less depression, less envy. And physiologically, when we're practicing thankfulness, when we're practicing the power of wow, we have more energy, we sleep better, we exercise more, we have greater resistance to viral infections, less alcoholism, and the list goes on and on. This is the power of wow in our lives. That's why with every worship service here at Life Journey, we begin with a half an hour of song and praise and worship and thanksgiving, lifting our hearts to God, because we know that if we are open and mindful to what is happening in that time, we're going to get a jolt out of that that is going to lift us and help carry us through the entire week that stretches out before us. If a few moments ago your heart was open to, and in your own mind way, you were present in our worship time together, there's going to be a spiritual, psychological, and even physiological energy that comes out of that that's going to make the week to come better for you. And that's also why we need to make sure we're weaving prayers of wow into the fabric of our daily spiritual rhythm. A group of rookie paratroopers were about to take their first jump from an airplane. Before the plane took off, the sergeant said to them, "Okay, now, once we get airborne, there are just four things I want you to remember. Number one, jump when I say jump. Number two, after you've jumped, count to 10 and then pull your cord. Number three, if your chute doesn't open, pull your backup cord. And number four, when you get back down to the ground, there'll be a truck there to take you back to the base." So the plane takes off. It gets airborne up to altitude. The sergeant says, "Jump." One of the paratroopers hesitates, but finally jumps. In his mind, he counts to 10, pulls the cord. The chute does not open. In a half panic, he pulls the backup cord. The chute does not open. "Oh boy," he says to himself, "I'll bet when I get back to the ground, the truck won't be there either." You know, I know it's a bad joke when Byron gets tickled. Sorry. But you know the feeling, right? One thing after another, after another, after another, after another, until you feel like you're living like this, protecting yourself, just waiting for the next thing to drop. Life becomes overwhelming. Many of us these days find ourselves feeling that way about what's happening in our nation. Children being separated from parents. The Russians trying to use disinformation to disrupt Western democracies. A different mass shooting every month. Seismic shift in the composition of the Supreme Court, civil rights that are under threat, and then you add to that all of your personal stuff, and you find yourself just wanting to throw up your hands and say, what's the use? I give up. This is just too much. And then you come into church on Sunday morning, and the preacher stands up here and says, you just need to pray some prayers of wow. It'll make you feel a lot better. And you want to say, but I don't have any thankfulness in me right now. I've got fear, I've got worry, I've got doubt. Where, how am I going to give thanks? About 10 days ago on our church website, most of you know we have a daily scripture meditation on our website written by somebody else, different people in our congregation. And if you ever want to access that, just go to the drop-down box, spiritual resources on our website, and click on Be Still and Know. About 10 days ago, on June 21st, Lynette Pullen shared with us a prayer of thanksgiving that she had written from her own personal experience. Lynette, by the way, she lives in Texas now, but many of us know Lynette, and if you know her story, you know that she has experienced some really profoundly difficult things in her life. There was a time in her life years ago as a young adult when she and her young daughter were actually homeless. But Lynette shared with us this prayer of thanksgiving that she wrote. Thank you, God, for allowing me to feel hunger and the pangs of poverty because it rid me of my pride and helped me to appreciate the simple things in life. Thank you, God, for tears. They allow me to express and release my grief. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be a victim of racism and sexism. From them, I have learned to be an advocate of justice for all people. Thank you for allowing others to hurt me beyond human repair. It gave me the opportunity to discover the supernatural healing powers of forgiving. Thank you for allowing others to abandon me in my darkest times. It was then I first realized that you are always with me. Thank you for allowing me to fall. It was the only way for me to learn to pick myself up. Thank you for grace in times of failure. It gives me the freedom to try again. Thank you for your love. I wish I understood it more. It is more beautiful than the love of a mother. It is more magnificent than the wonders of the universe. It is more glorious than the morning sun. It is deeper and wider than anything I could ever measure. It is infinitely more powerful than the darkest hate. It is more comforting than any words or embrace ever could be. It is all I need. You can't pray that prayer without something fundamental shifting inside of you. From angst to awe. From despair to hope. From doubt to trust. From carping to worship. In awe of you we worship and stand amazed at your great love. Because even in the toughest times, we are wrapped up above, below, beneath, inside of us. We are suffused in the infinite love of God. Thank you. There's always something to be deeply, genuinely thankful about. And when we get in touch with that, even in the darkest times, it has the power to lift us body, mind, soul, and spirit. The power of prayers of wow. Here are five different practical ways we can engage in wow encounters with God. Pick one or two of these and that best fit your personality and make it part of your personal spiritual rhythm. Option Number one, intentionally listening to beautiful music. Something like Schubert's Ave Maria. You know it, do you not? Open your soul to it mindfully, thoughtfully. Listen, whoops, I'm sorry, I'm messing up the slides. Do we have it now? There we go. Just take a moment. Don't sleep through it. Open your heart to it. Feel it. Feel the notes. Every time I hear it, it jolts me out of whatever funk I'm in and lifts me up to God and resets my perspective. Option number one, listen to beautiful music. Option number two, meditate on a beautiful photograph. This past week, the screensaver that popped up on my computer was a young lion lying prone on a tree limb looking directly into the camera. Absolutely magnificent. It lifted my spirit all week. Oh God, how great thou art. Or meditate on a beautiful piece of art. This past week, an artist in our congregation, Steve Whitlock, gave me this beautiful piece of art to hang in my home office. It's a painting of aspen trees in the Rocky Mountains that he remembers from a hike he took in the Rocky Mountains. I lived in Colorado for several years and took many hikes in the mountains, many scenes like this. And when I meditate on this, when I look at this, it takes me back to that time, to that place, and it lifts my soul to God. Option number three, take a mindful walk outside in nature. And don't forget, tonight the moon will be visible from Earth. The last time that happened was last night. Don't sleepwalk through life. Wake up to the magnificence, the greatness of God that is all around us. Option three, take a mindful walk in nature. Option number four, just in the morning or in the evening, get in the habit of just 5 minutes where you list out audibly to God some things that you're thankful for that have happened in the last 24 hours. That simple exercise can make a huge difference in mood, in outlook, in energy, in sleepfulness. And finally, you may have never thought of this one, but option number five, remember and retell to God some seminal experience in your life. I remember a time years ago. God, I remember when I was 6 years old. It was a summer's night, and me and my two sisters convinced Mom and Dad to let us sleep in the same room that night, slumber party fashion. So I ended up in the top bunk, my older sister in the bottom bunk, and my little sister in the cot next to the bunk beds. As soon as Mom turned out the lights and closed the door, the party got started. Before long, I had wedged myself between the mattress of the top bunk and the guardrail, in between them, and I reached back and grabbed hold of the guardrail like this, which allowed me to hover out over the bunk bed, over my sisters below, and kind of torment them. But as I was doing that, there came a moment when I lost my grip. What followed could not have taken more than a second, but it literally happened in slow motion to me. I found myself, this was the sequence of thought, oh no, I lost my grip. Oh no, I am hurtling like a torpedo, head first, full force for the hardwood floor below. Oh no, I can't get my hands from where they are to above my head to break my fall in time. Oh no, I'm going to die. And you laugh, but it was not funny. I mean, I literally, it's my first conscious memory of, I'm going to die. It was abject terror. And in that split second, at the precise right moment, as fate would have it, my older sister, not even realizing I had lost my grip or what was going on above her, happened to reach out to my little sister in the cot to get something from her. And in that moment, my two shoulders perfectly landed on her two forearms, which broke my fall, caused me to tip sideways and come crashing down to the floor on my side. As I laid there on the floor, I remember thinking, even at 6 years old, I have just cheated death. And I cannot begin to describe for you the gratitude that welled up in my heart. It is by grace, and grace alone, that I was not dead at age six. And everything that I've experienced since then is a gift from that moment of grace. I couldn't be here with you today but for that gift of grace. And when I retell that story to this day, it causes me to just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you for my life. Retell, Byron. Retell to yourself and to God seminal experiences in your life, and let that reset your perspective and jolt you out of the funks of life. Six different options. Pick a couple that work best and practice them in your life. The power of prayers of wow. Let me close with this. About a month ago, a couple women in our church came in and sat down with me for a pastoral care appointment. For the next 90 minutes, they proceeded to tell me about one overwhelming challenge after another, challenge layered on challenge that they were facing at that point in their lives. If I shared the challenges with you, you would say, oh my goodness. As they told me these things that were happening in their life, there were tears, lots of tears, gut-wrenching tears. By the time we got to the end of the conversation, it felt like I felt overwhelmed. God, what can I do? How can I help them? These problems, these challenges they're facing are beyond the ability to resolve in a pastoral conversation. I felt like I didn't help them very much. When we reached the end of our conversation, though, one of them said to me, would it be okay if we went down to the sanctuary to sing? Okay, I said. Nobody had ever asked me that before. So I walked them down here to the sanctuary, turned on the lights, left them to their privacy, went back to my office. Before long, it was lunchtime, so I walked back down to the kitchen in the social hall right there. And I could hear them in the sanctuary singing in perfect harmony. And they weren't just singing. They were belting it out. Full volume. And the way they were singing, it sounded like they were moving around, like they were dancing. And they'd sing, and they'd stop, and they'd laugh, and they'd sing again. I mean, loud! And I thought, wow. It reminded me of Paul and Silas in jail in the book of Acts, and how they sang while they were in prison, and it created an earthquake that broke the prison open and set them free. Those two women may have crawled into this church delirious, barely breathing, but they soared out of this place like eagles. Hallelujah. Because of the power of wow. You have that power. Whether it gets unleashed, that's up to you.